New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
Fellow Bible believers, it's exciting. It's exciting beyond all joy to be able to help carry out the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. Prior to Jesus' ascension, it's clear exactly what he had on his mind as far as the mission of his disciples. I'm holding a copy of the King James Bible just now in Matthew chapter 28. The Lord is dealing with his tremendous appearances. The Bible says in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28, Jesus had shown himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, as Luke says in chapter 1 in his prologue. And now he says to his disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Bible believers, this would be a tremendous truth for people to accept. All preachers, pastors, leaders, all people that believe in Jesus Christ should believe firmly in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. The Bible says here very clearly, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power belongs to Jesus. That word is also translated authority. All authority belongs to Jesus. There's no authority for the conference. There's no authority for the pastor or the bishop. There's no authority for the church. This is where we have one of the most tremendous problems in what's called Christendom today. When the church believes that it's the authority, then it supplants the authority of Jesus. The church does not have the authority. Nobody in the church has the authority. The pastor doesn't have the authority. The archbishop doesn't have any authority. The cardinal has no authority, and the pope has no authority. No one has authority except Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When we read this powerful verse in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, "All power has been given unto me," or also translated, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and earth," that is all authority concerning religion, all authority concerning salvation, all authority concerning how we're supposed to live our lives. Many times in this beloved country of ours and also around the world as it spreads, if it feels good, it must be good. But you're not saved because it feels good. Then many people feel, evidently, that if it sounds good, it's good. But it's not good just because it sounds good. It's not good because it feels good or because it sounds good. It's good because it is good when it follows the only one that is good, when it follows our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Before you're going to come to salvation, you're going to accept the truth of that verse. Before you're going to witness redemption according to God's plan, before your eyes will be open and before your heart will be open to obey the gospel exactly as it's recorded in the Bible, before this happens, you're going to have to accept this powerful verse, "All power is given unto me." That is, all authority belongs to Jesus. And so, will you accept the authority of Jesus? You accept what Jesus says. When Jesus made this statement, the very next thing that he said is one of the most maligned and rejected passages in the Bible. What is it? Well, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Then he said to his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so Jesus said, "All power is given unto me, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Someone says that's only one passage of Scripture. Let's look into the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. In verse 14, Jesus was still showing himself alive after his glorious resurrection. And in Mark 16, 14, it says, "Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not on him, and they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now listen to verses 15 and 16. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, and this is almost a replica of what we have in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Listen to what Jesus said. And the very commandment that Jesus gave, the very literal words that Jesus gave, are explained away. People will deny what these passages are clearly saying. They're saying it is a work salvation, that it is not what we're expected to do today. But Jesus said it, and that settles it. He said unto them, quote, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. As I look into the wonderful pages of the Word of God, there's some tremendous questions that have been asked, and it's important and imperative for us to get into the Scripture and let the Bible answer its own questions. In other words, on the day of Pentecost, when the people there on that great feast day of first fruits found out that they were guilty of crucifying Christ, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's Acts chapter 2. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Do you agree that that is a logical question? Do you agree that the answer that they received is the very answer, word for word, syllable by syllable, that we should get? Shouldn't we get the same answer the apostles gave when the question was asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, in this passage, after they were pricked in their hearts and burdened because of their sin, finding out what they had done, how they were lost outside of Christ, they had crucified their Messiah, they, in desperation, said, men and brethren, what shall we do? These next words are words that must be quoted explicitly and accurately without adding to or taking away. The question was, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter's answer was, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you remember, the Holy Spirit baptized the apostles on that great notable day. This was the fulfillment of prophecy. And here's the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? The apostle Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Does your minister give the answer to this question in these exact words? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Here's the biblical example. Reading from the King James, it's practically the same in all major translations. Men and brethren, what shall we do? The question was answered by the Holy Spirit, inspired apostle, and we're not to add to it or take away from it. It was given to him by the Lord, and it has all authority. And the question was, men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer was, repent. I'm reading from the King James Bible, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Many people will yell heresy. They'll yell water regeneration. They'll yell it's contrary to biblical teaching to simply quote this passage. But whenever someone walks down the aisle in any of our meetings without adding our opinion, without adding any church notion or any conference suggestion, I just quote to them the Bible. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Many try to get out of that verse and get away from what it is clearly saying by saying that this simply applied to the Jews. And so they are, in this case, admitting that the Bible says here, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But they, recognizing what it says, try to get out of it because they don't preach that today by saying this simply applied to the Jews. Well, let's read Acts chapter 2 and the following verse. Verse 39, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." This is a salvation broadcast. This is not a broadcast where we try to preach to please denominational superiors. We're not trying to preach to please the people. We're not trying to be popular. We just want to speak the truth. And when someone comes down the aisle or when someone asks the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" I want to give them word for word, syllable by syllable, precisely what the Word of God has to say. Then it's interesting that in Acts chapter 16, this same question was asked. You remember the jailer, after the prison doors were opened, he brought Paul and Silas out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I've heard many preachers, I've heard individual preachers deal with this passage of Scripture, and they'll simply quote the next verse, but they'll leave what follows out because it goes contrary to their church doctrine or the doctrine that the people want to hear. The question was, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" It was answered in Acts chapter 2. Now in Acts chapter 16, the jailer has a question. "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And so many a radio preacher, television preacher will preach, and they'll give this answer. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." But remember what the Bible says in Acts 2. You remember what the Bible said in Matthew 28 and in Mark 16. You remember these passages of Scripture? Well, two verses down from where it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved," guess what? There was an old-fashioned midnight baptism. It's been wonderful how many, many of these midnight baptisms we've had. When we're following the apostles' teachings, if we're witnessing to someone at 2 o'clock in the morning, before 3 o'clock, if they believe and repent, there'll be an old-fashioned baptism. That's the way it was in the Bible. Then as we look through the various accounts of conversion, it's clear that in every case they followed the apostolic example. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to what must I do to be saved, we must follow the biblical examples. And so the example in Acts chapter 2 is, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Someone said, "I'm getting tired of hearing Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. If you don't get your life in line with God, if you don't accept the full authority of Jesus Christ, you'll hear that verse in eternity, and you'll hear it in a way that you don't want to hear it. So accept Christ, accept His authority, obey the gospel, get back to the Bible. Let's restore original first century New Testament Christianity." Be tuned in next week for more old-fashioned, straight-shooting Bible preaching, where we preach no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. Let's close with prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the gospel. I thank you for the wonderful plan of salvation. And I pray that people will receive it, obey it, and accept it and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational, Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more heaven-high, hell-deep, and worldwide shotgun barrel-straight preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.